welcome to the Rack Extra Views right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay, and after a very long hiatus, we are back. This is the final Rack Reviews of 2018, and it seems very appropriate that we are going out on Timeless, the series finale, the movie, the epic event, the two-hour special, which aired on December 20th from 8 to 10 p.m. If you have not watched this, I would strongly recommend you do it.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Tell us why.
Because so often series get canceled right in the middle of things, and we never find out what happens. And oftentimes, fan fiction has to fill in the details, right? We were...
Yeah, that's accurate. Accurate. Very accurate.
We were blessed this time to actually get every loose end, every story, every question, more or less, answered with this series finale. They did a wonderful job tying up everything in the show. So it all made sense. So it all came together, and we ended the show with the beginning, essentially, of the show, believe it or not. And they just did a beautiful job with this. And it's so rare that we get that with series. And I really wish that networks in general did this for shows, where it's like, okay, we're going to cancel it, but we're going to give you the conclusion to the series, because there are fans that love the series, and there are people that watch it, and they really want to see how it ends. We want to know how it ends, and you don't necessarily have to do a grand, spectacular, two-hour special like what this was. You don't have to, but a conclusion of what the story was, how it was supposed to end, would be really nice. Because then we're not sitting here left guessing and wanting and waiting and hoping that it's going to get picked up somewhere else or it's going to get renewed. No, here, while we still hope that for Timeless, and if anybody would like to pick that up, Netflix, we would be, you know, very open to that. But for the time being, I think this is really acceptable in terms of how this all ended.
Yeah, very acceptable ending. It gave us the conclusion that we needed. Yeah, everything about it was it wrapped up perfectly.
So we're not going to go through it really blow by blow, but we do want to kind of hit more of the high points of the series. And really, it obviously picks up right where we left off at the end of the show, which is future Lucy and Wyatt show up in the lifeboat to the team. They've just gotten back. They've just lost Rufus. And future Lucy and Wyatt are like, hey, you can save your boy. Here's the journal. Hey, oh, hey, by the way, yeah, you can cross your own timeline, but you're going to get a really nasty headache, probably go insane, and then die if you stay too long. So, you know, you may want to look out for that. So that's
yeah,
a thing.
That's a thing, yeah.
We see it start to happen with Lucy. So the future two jump back in the lifeboat, the old lifeboat, because they're like, here, take our version because our version is much easier to fly than yours. So they hop in the old time machine and they get out and like basically everybody's like, wait, you can fly that thing? And they're like, yeah, we learned a lot while y'all were gone. Just FYI, we kind of figured this out.
Also, it has autopilot.
Yeah, the new one is a DeLorean. It's a spherical DeLorean.
It has the old autopilot, which means anyone can fly it.
Yeah, so and Gia's like all freaking out. She's like, oh my god, I did this. I pimped this out, which we actually never find out who pimped out the lifeboat. But somebody did it. It's pretty cool. So you just type in the date, the place, you hit go, and it takes you where you want to go. So that's a pretty cool feature on the lifeboat. So meanwhile, old Rittenhouse, they're buying agents because they're out of sleepers. Good old Red is in charge with Jessica, her right-hand woman right there, a.k.a. Wyatt's wife. And so they're going around buying sleeper agents in North Korea, and they're stealing gold from Sacramento, California, and they're setting the team up. And meanwhile, the team is trying to figure out what the hell is going on because, you know, it's like, oh, hey, obviously we're a thing in the future. That's awkward.
Right. There was one sleeper agent left, and that was for the gold mine portion.
Yes.
And then they had to buy new ones with the gold they got from that.
Yeah, that poor guy gets dropped off in like the 1840s, right, in California before the gold rush. And his only job, like his one job, is to get them gold so they can, you know, like basically rebuild the Rittenhouse resources because they're a little depleted after the war with Agent Christopher and the team. So yeah, that's his one job. And he's like, he doesn't initially want to give Jessica the gold because he's like, no, I want the top person. And she's like, F you, elbows him in the face and takes the gold and walks off with it. Well, and he's like, okay.
She couldn't get to the top person because that person's dead.
Yeah. Awkward.
Awkward.
Nobody knows that. So anyway, so the team jumps to Sacramento. Basically, Jessica's been doing a little footwork and she's gotten them written up as wanted. So they meet the outlaw that Zorro is based off of.
I like that.
I liked that. That was a nice little touch. They all kind of link up. And so this leads to essentially Garcia having sort of a reflective come to Jesus moment, if you will. And the whole crux of this first part of the episode is they're trying to save Rufus. That is their goal. They don't care about Rittenhouse at this point. Basically, their future selves tell them that in order to stop Rittenhouse, you need Rufus. So now it's come hell or high water, we're getting Rufus back, right? And part of what they figure out in this timeline is that because Jessica is alive, Rufus is dead. So they essentially traded one for the other.
Right. Wyatt eventually figured that out after going through the journal over and over again. He finally pieced it together.
You know, after he sees that Lucy and Flynn hook up.
Yeah, that was an awkward moment.
Which I was like, my ship, my ship, my ship. Literally on a ship, by the way, on the Titanic. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, oh, damn it, we don't get that. Bummer. Anyway, we could have like had the whole Jack and Rose car sex scene all over again. We could have got some bang, bang, bangity, bang. But no, we don't get that.
You mean a bang, bang, bangity, bang. Bang. Yeah, I said a bang, bang, bangity, bang.
No banging yet. So.
I mean, there was, anyway.
We'll get to that. So, we'll get there. Hint, hint, wink, wink. So Flynn has this reflective moment and he realizes that, somebody has to take out Jessica. And while Wyatt has resolved to do it himself, not realizing that Jessica has already gone back to the present day with the gold, Flynn decides he's going to take out Jessica himself. So he, in the dead of night, he gets up and they catch him leaving and he's like, oh, I'm going to go patrolling. And they're like, okay. And they go back to sleep and Finn goes back to Flynn. Should say not Finn, different, completely different genre. Flynn goes back to the lifeboat, jumps in, and goes to the night that Wyatt's wife is supposedly killed, and waits for her there. And there's a Rittenhouse agent that's waiting for her, which was hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
Because the guy's like, oh, are you here to protect her too? And Flynn's like, oh yeah, for Rittenhouse? And the guy's like, yeah, yeah. And Flynn's like, shoots him and kills him, and he's like, nope, not here for that.
That being a big old nope.
That's a negative. So while he's waiting for Jessica, the side effects start to take over for him and he starts to get headaches and sort of like burst little headaches. And so she shows up and she finds the dead Rittenhouse agent and she's like, what the hell? And then she sees Flynn and a fight ensues between the two. And he's eventually able to fight her off and kill her with really no flair. He just sort of like, you're done. Boom.
After the fight, yeah. Yep, boom. And then one final shot as he walked away.
Yeah, just to make sure it took. Mm-hmm. Smart man. So he goes back to the lifeboat, and he punches in the date that they were originally at, the place and the date. And he hits autopilot, and as it's powering up, Flynn jumps out, sending the lifeboat back empty, leaving himself in his own timeline in 2012, where sadly he ends up dying. And he suffers probably a very horrific death, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What was interesting about that is he went back to his family and saw them one last time.
Yeah, which was nice.
It was a nice touching moment.
I feel like this was, like, they did Flynn a little dirty because it's like I really liked the character of Garcia Flynn, but at the same time, it's like he got the catharsis that he wanted and he redeemed himself in his own way where he realized that what he was looking for, he wasn't going to get in the form that he thought he was going to get it in. He wanted his family back. He ended up getting a family. It just wasn't in the sense of his wife and his child. That was never going to come back to him, but he had Lucy and he had Wyatt and Rufus and Agent Christopher and Connor Mason after a fashion as a family. And that was really, really cool for him. And the fact that he ends up sacrificing himself to save the team and really to save Rufus was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Because obviously what this does is this resets the timeline. So Jessica dies. So everything that happened in the last season regarding Rufus dying and Jessica being a spy, all of that crap does not happen. So we cut back to the team. They've been captured. Oh no, what's going to happen? Are they going to be hung? Nobody knows. And then to the rescue, in bursts Rufus. Guns a-blazing, fighting it out, and everybody's like, holy shit, it worked.
Him not, and he was unaware of what had happened.
Yeah, he had no idea. So for him, like, the last, which there's a lapse of 3 years, had never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's pretty much pre-Jessica, the Hollywood, like, it's post-Hollywood Rufus. Like, they came back from Hollywood and Jessica was never there. It was Lucy and Wyatt are a couple, they're sleeping together, it's a whole thing, and everything is good, everything's happy. So he comes back and it's like, you know, Gia never went to Chinatown. None of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
None of it. So everything that we know in terms of what the characters know, Rufus doesn't. So he comes in and he assumes everything's fine. And they're like, holy crap, you're alive. And he's like, what? Of course I'm alive. And they're like, no, dude, you died. We watched it. It happened. It was a thing. Gia cried a lot.
Right.
Wyatt also cried. Not a lot, but he did cry. So Rufus is highly confused because it's like, well, wait a minute. And they're like, in our timeline, you're dead. And he's like, well, clearly I'm not.
Clearly I'm here.
So the group is reunited, but they're like, where's Flynn? What happened to Flynn? And we get the conclusion to Flynn, which is he writes Lucy a letter, basically explaining what he's done to help them, to help everyone, to save the world, because he puts it in the letter that, you know, if they were off saving Rufus, he was going to go save the world. And now that they have Rufus back, they can save the world from Rittenhouse. And it's a huge, hugely reflective moment for everybody, because it's like, we get that conclusion when they come back, we find out Garcia's dead and everybody's a little sad. Lucy's very upset by it. Because she did have feelings for him.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not in a truly romantic sense, but she did have feelings.
I mean, I think they were a little bit romantic.
There was a little bit of romance there, but it was like she was always, the way that they put it was she was always in love with Wyatt. And so it was never going to work out between her and Garcia. And I'm like, no, it could have. It totally could have. She could have hooked up with him and been fine. She could have gotten over that. I mean, yeah, he's cute. He's got blue eyes, blonde hair. He's good looking. But, you know, have you seen this over here? He's not bad. He's a giant teddy bear that will murder anybody that screws with you. I mean, I don't see a problem with that.
Right.
I mean, totally fine. But anyway, so we find out he also had washed, like, been found in, as a John Doe, which is pretty depressing.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of sad.
So meanwhile, while all this is going on and we have this gigantic reunion of sorts, Red comes back looking for Jessica, realized Jessica's been taken out of the timeline. Oh crap. The gold's all gone. Oh crap. So she's basically looks at the lackey and she's like, fire up the mothership. And he's like, where are you going? She's like, to hell. Like, she's all pissed. So basically then we see her go to North Korea to buy, or in one sequence, I don't think here, but before Jessica's death, we see her buying the sleeper agent in North Korea to set up the team.
Right.
Because the team, minus Garcia, goes to North Korea to stop Rittenhouse. And it's all one elaborate setup to get them killed. And in the present day, Connor and Agent Christopher are scrolling through news clippings about the Korean War and this particular event, which is the Miracle on Christmas, where, you know, I think it was, they said 40,000 people were saved in the evacuation of North Korea.
Something like that.
You know, a huge number of people were saved from the Chinese army who were marching in. And so they come across a news clipping of 4 people killed on this day, and it's a picture of the team.
Mm-hmm.
All dead.
All dead. They be dead.
D-E-D, dead. And they're like, Connor and Agent Christopher are like, oh, crap. We have to get to them. We can't get to them. They're in the 1950s. We're in 2018. What do we do? You know? So what do? You go get Lucy's father, you blackmail him into helping you, or you twist his arm into helping you, and he helps you.
He helps you get the mothership.
He helps you get the mothership. And that's exactly what he did. He walks in on Red, and basically her whole thing is like, we're done with the family crap, we're done with the cult crap, I'm in charge now, so screw the Cahills, screw everybody else, I'm running this show. And in walks Mr. Cahill, and he's like, yeah, F you and your agenda. This is a family thing. Get out. And that's when Agent Christopher shows up and she's like, give me a reason. Come on. Give me a reason. Let me do it. And so Emma's arrested. They get the mothership, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did like how they did that, how they get the mothership back.
So they go to North Korea, save the day.
Save the day, save the team.
Speaking of the team, they did an honorable thing. They made sure this one woman was able to give birth, which was a nice touching moment.
Well, part of what they did was, you know, it's everyone matters.
Yeah.
In history. It's not just the important people in that made history. It's everyone in history matters and is important. And it's very likely that this woman was probably killed originally and they saved her because basically they're in a church. It's cold as hell. And the girls had gone inside to warm up because they were getting frostbite while the guys worked on a truck. And so this woman helped them unconditionally. Basically, she told them to chill, settle their tea kettles and stop talking because, you know, there are informants everywhere. So they help her get to the port to evacuate out to be with her family.
Yeah.
Which they reunite her with her family after she's given birth to the baby. And so it's a really important message that it's not just the important people in history that matter. It's everyone that matters. Everyone is important to someone. So this sort of leads to this climax where they've reunited this lady. They're trying to get back to the lifeboat. They can't get there. They get pinned down by the Chinese army. It's, oh no, it looks like the team's going to die. And this is where it's kind of revealed that, like, some of Gia's past experience in Chinatown, which I wish they had kind of dug into more.
They didn't have the time, though.
They didn't have the time, though, which really kind of upset me a little bit. But it was like, because I really would have liked to have seen that story between Gia and Rufus, where it's like, he's, you know, all happy-go-lucky. I love you, Gia. And she's like, yeah, I'm kind of a badass now. And you're just going to have to deal. Because we see her, you know, like we see a scar from where she had been hurt in Chinatown and she doesn't really want to talk about it. And then when they they have a crash landing in North Korea. Thanks to the sleeper agent, she pulls like a shard out of her leg and damages her leg or bandages her own leg.
Yeah, she was showing how much of a badass she is.
And, you know, she's fine. And so it's like there was kind of a little bit of a disconnect there. And I would have liked to have seen more of that story. But again, time, they just didn't have it.
Right.
Like if this had been a season 3, we would have gotten that.
But, oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Which, you know, if you want to do season 3.
By all means.
Go for it, dude. We're not opposed. So, so they're all in this church together. They're praying. And Gia makes it a point to say that she found a religious emblem of St. Christopher, who's the patron saint of travelers. And so she's praying to St. Christopher. And who shows up but Agent Christopher, the mothership, Connor Mason, and Emma in handcuffs.
Was Connor there?
Yeah, Connor came back with them.
Okay.
Connor's got to drive, dude.
I didn't think he was there.
No, he came back with Agent Christopher.
Okay. I don't remember ever seeing him, that's all.
I swear he was there. He may not have been there, but I swear he was there.
Either way.
But, so we have a happy reunion between everybody. You know, we're all excited to see each other. And then Emma tries to get away. And they're like, oh no, you don't. Like, three people pull guns. Because they're like, no, you don't. You stay right where you are. You're done. And then she goes to Lucy. It's like, I can help you get your sister back. I know, you know, it's like, I only did it because your mother made me, but, you know, I can undo it. I can fix it. We can get your sister back. And she's like, all you have to do is trust me. Now, Lucy, season 1, would have bought that crap. Lucy, season 2, is having none of it and is like, yeah, if she moves an inch, shoot her in the face. I'm so proud. Mama's baby's having none of that. Very proud. So she walks away, and as she's walking away, Emma gets shot by the Chinese army. They're starting to descend upon them, and so everybody jumps in the mothership, and they all get out of there and get back to the lifeboat, where they're all come back, and everything is hunky-dory happy. They've stopped Rittenhouse. History is saved, history is restored, everything is good to go, and all of this takes place over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So we have a Christmas celebration with the team as a family. Agent Christopher is in an ugly sweater, they're giving gifts, they're having drinks, they're laughing, they're having a good time, they have reflective moments. And then we fast forward, 5 years?
Something like that, yeah.
To 2023. Lucy and Wyatt are married. They have 2 children.
She's a teacher.
She's a professor, a tenured professor.
Mm-hmm. She made tenure, yeah.
He's working for Agent Christopher in the special ops unit. And the mothership has been destroyed. The lifeboat has not been, just in case they need it for anything, but basically they destroy the destroy the mothership to prevent anybody else from getting it. And cause Connor is like, and they want to destroy the lifeboat too, but Connor is like, we should keep it because the technology exists.
Someone else could do it and we'd be screwed.
Yeah. It's like, we need a backup plan. Here is your backup plan. Which I don't understand. It's like, why didn't you keep the mothership and destroy the lifeboat?
That's a good question, but, you know, loopholes.
Anyway.
Loopholes, you just don't ask them.
I'm not going to ask any questions at this point. But yeah, so the mothership is destroyed. They keep the lifeboat. It's under wraps. It's under garbage. And Christopher, very few people know about it. And so we fast forward to them all reuniting. Rufus and Gia are highly successful. They have their own company together. She's the face of it. He's the mysterious man behind the scenes. They're happy. And they're at a science fair, and we'll see a girl with a device that he recognizes that's tied to a time machine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I've seen one of those before.
Yours is better.
Not that good, but I've seen it. And so we all reunite. We see the team together one more time, and they're like, you know, everything is so good, and we did the thing, and we're all really happy, but we have to protect it. We have to make sure this is going to happen. Like, we're all going to end up here. So we take one last trip back in time to São Paulo, Brazil, 2012, where Lucy Preston brings Garcia Flynn the notebook, the journal, and sets him on his path to stealing the mothership and starting the whole series of events and the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, and we see her, you know, basically telling him, you're going to be thought of as a terrorist. Everybody's going to hate you, but you're not. You're a hero. You're probably the bravest of all of us because you're going to sacrifice everything to do this. And basically, we love you and we appreciate you. And she starts crying and she kisses him on the cheek and her head is getting ready to explode. And then they have to book it out of there because her head is getting ready to explode. But the series closes with them coming back through history, or coming back to the present day, 2023, really the future. And we see them do the dramatic pose in the time machine one more time. And then we go through the whole series of events in like a flashback that leads to this moment of them coming out of the mothership or the lifeboat together one last time to close the show.
Overall, well done.
I think it was really well done. It was really well written. I liked how you had the characters explore it. And one of the things that I forgot to mention with the whole sister thing is they're like, we can go back. We can save your sister. And she's like, no. Lucy goes, no. Because if we do it, we're no better than Flynn or Rittenhouse or anybody that uses this for wrong. It's basically, it happened for a reason. I loved her, but everyone loses someone they love. She's mine. And it's put me here where I am today, and I don't want to change that. I don't want to lose that. So essentially, Lucy sacrifices her sister. Wyatt sacrifices Jessica. Garcia sacrifices himself. Rufus comes back from the dead.
Which he never forgets to mention.
Which he never gets to mention. By the way, we have a nice moment between Rufus and Wyatt where Rufus forgives Wyatt for the stuff with Gia.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rufus is like, because Wyatt tells him, and Rufus is like, you didn't have to tell me, I didn't know. And Wyatt's like, no. I had to tell you. You had to know. Because I know. Although, and then, I'm not sure what Gia sacrifices. I don't think she sacrifices anything. But your three main characters all had to
give up something for the better, the good. The common good. The better good. Whatever.
The greater good.
The greater good. However you want to put it. I mean, she had her issues in season two. I mean, she went through a lot to get where she is. She had growth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gia grew a lot. Like, the whole cast grew a lot. And that's what I'm saying. If you want to do season three, I won't complain about it. But, yeah, I mean, overall, this was a really wonderful way to tie up the series. It's a great ending. You know, it's the happy ending that you want for the characters. And with them doing the cliffhanger at the end of the season two, it was like, oh, my God, are you serious? And then they cancel it, and you're like, no! So when they were doing, when they said, oh, we're going to do one more episode where it's going to be like a mini movie, I think everybody who's a fan of the show was really excited because we do get that conclusion. And it was so well done that I wish they would do this for everything. Like, I wish we would get that story, that the ending to that story every time.
Yeah. When appropriate. Yeah.
When appropriate, and not do like what Once Upon a Time did, which they did a really good ending and then they had to do one more season.
Well, you know.
It was weird. Anyway.
Weird is the best way to put it, yeah.
Alice was Hook's daughter, and yeah, anyway. So, yeah, Timeless, this was a good way to wrap it up. But I'm sad that it's gone. Mm-hmm. I'm sad this is it, that this is the end.
This is the end, but hey, you got your closure.
I got my closure. And also, we did have a little bang, bang, bangity bang. I said a bang, bang, bangity bang. Because when the team comes back from North Korea, while we're in the church, Rufus and Gia have a moment, Wyatt and Lucy have a moment, and this is where Lucy realizes, no, I'm not going to save my sister because reasons. And she and Wyatt end up kissing, and then when they come back, they end up hooking up. So they're a couple when they come back from North Korea, so that's how that all happens, and they get together. But yeah, and of course, we get a little bang, bang, bangity bang. I said a bang, bang, bangity bang, at least between Lucy and Wyatt. Like,
you know,
full mounting and everything.
Because, you know, reasons.
Reasons, you know, why not? Gotta do a little something-something for the people, so. But yeah, overall, great show. Great, great show. If you didn't watch it and you were just listening to this review of it, please go watch it. Please tell your friends to watch it. Please support it, because there was a lot of hard work that it went into this show and a lot of love that went into this, and they deserve to be recognized for it. They deserve to have people see it. And unfortunately, the one flaw that I have in all of this is that NBC really didn't advertise it that I saw.
Yeah, they may have advertised it during primetime television, but don't watch much on NBC, so it's really like, you would want a bigger campaign for it. We really didn't get that. But it happens sometimes.
It happens sometimes. But yeah, I wish there had been more for it. But it is what it is. And I'm pleased with it. I'm overall really, really pleased and happy with the ending.
Yeah, same. But I think that does it.
I think that does it too. So want to thank everybody for listening. Just to give everyone a quick update about the other shows, we will be back in the new year with Total Bellas when it returns. In terms of Total Divas, we're probably not going to finish that out at this point, but we appreciate everybody following it and listening to it. Unfortunately, life took a huge turn for me in October, and I'm still getting things straightened out. It's no fun, y'all. It's just no fun. So, but in the coming year, everything should start to quiet down, settle out, so we will be able to return with Total Bellas here soon. But where can they follow us on the social medias in the meantime?
It's Drag Writer Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Make sure you follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Check out The Rack every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Send questions for Pop Goes The Rack at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. We'll be live this Thursday with Pop Goes The Rack.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lindsay Ward, LNSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack Extra Reviews, Timeless Series Finale Edition, right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will see you very soon next week with The Rack. Till then, bye!